Let's read Psalm 69. It's a long psalm, but I think it will say more than I can ever say. Remember, we are studying the Messianic Psalms. Those are the psalms that have a link with the life of Christ directly by the Spirit of God. And there are some seven references from this psalm in the New Testament that you will probably no doubt remember as we read the psalm. Save me, O God, for the waters are coming into my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am wearying of my crying, my throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let me just stop there. These psalms, of course, while they have a focus on Christ, also have a bearing on the life of the writer and the experience of the writer. And I think we have to remember as we read the psalm that we're moving in and out between the two experiences. Because of course Christ would not have his own sins. He took upon him the sin of the world. And so remember that as we go through the psalm, that we are sort of vacillating between the two experiences. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkard. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O Lord, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies, for thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before me. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them. And that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten. They talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, and the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion, and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. Let's pray. Father, again we are walking on holy ground. We're approaching the cross. We're approaching the anguish of thy Son. And we pray that thy Spirit may help us to draw from this the lessons that thou wilt have us learn. We seek thy help in his precious name. Amen. It's fitting that Psalm 69 should follow after our study of Psalm 22, because they both speak of the cross. In fact, Psalm 69 is the second most quoted psalm, Psalm 22 being the first in the New Testament. And I'm sure as you read it, there was much in the psalm that would remind you of the experiences of the Lord Jesus. Now, as with any prophetic passage, of course, concerning the Messiah's suffering, it begins in sorrow and ends in triumph. It touches on tragedy, and yet, as with other passages, it has the glorious triumph at the end of the psalm. Now, its focus is different. In Psalm 22, the one experiencing the Lord Jesus in prophetic terms is forsaken of God. And I was so glad when Gary took this psalm that he went to that expression, "Thou hast brought me to the dust of death." And Psalm 22 is the Lord Jesus experiencing the wrath of God against sin. And therefore we have those opening words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In Psalm 69, however, he's forsaken of man. In Psalm 22, you had the idea of being delivered by the determinate counsel of God. But in Psalm 69, it's the rest of that verse. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have slain the Lord of glory. In verse 4, he's forsaken of the nation. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. In verse 6, he's forsaken of his family. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. And finally, in verse 12, he's forsaken by society. They that sit in the gate, the top echelon of society, the elders, the judges, they speak against me. And at the other end of the scale, I was the song of the drunkard. So in Psalm 22, he's forsaken of God. In Psalm 69, he's forsaken of men. However, the basic message of Psalm 69 also differs from Psalm 22. And to get this in focus, I want to take you to the Old Testament. The book of Exodus ends in a blaze of glory. The children of Israel have been brought out of Egypt. They have been redeemed by blood of the Lamb and by the power of God with the opened waters. And the crowning glory was this, that God said, I will dwell among you. And at the end of Exodus, The tabernacle is built and God enters it. And the first thing God does, recognizing that it's one thing to dwell amongst his people, but it's another for those people to approach him. As we open the book of Exodus, God gives a series of offerings that enables his people to come into his presence and be accepted. Now these are the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. Now the first three are called sweet savor offerings. Whenever they were offered to God, there was that aroma that went up from the offering that pleased the heart of God. Now the Jews were not aware of it, of course, but underlying all these offerings was the fullness of the work and the person of Christ. And every time they offered one of those three offerings, the aroma went up into God's nostrils and he found pleasure in that which spoke of Christ. And these three are the approach offerings. These were the offerings that had to be offered so that man could approach this God who now lived in their midst. But it was one thing having a way to approach God as to being fit to go into God's presence. And so while in the first three offerings, God gave the right of approach and the way of approach to his people into his presence, in the last two offerings, he made them fit to come. And we have to learn a very simple principle here, that although the way into the presence of God is open through Christ, it is not for everybody to go that way. And these two Psalms, Psalm 22 and Psalm 69, represent those last two offerings. Now Psalm 22 took care of the principle of sin. Psalm 22 was where God laid on him the iniquity of us all and dealt with the principle of sin. Well, you might ask the question, what's the principle of sin? It's that inbred, inborn ability of man to go against God. Its seed was planted in the human heart in the Garden of Eden. And from that moment, man has not been able and has not been fit to approach the presence of God. And so the sin offering was offered that the principle of sin, that innate desire to go against God and to disobey his commandments, is dealt with in the sin offering. Now, as Gary pointed out to us 2 weeks ago, the Psalm 22 speaks of Christ. And when we read of the work of Christ in the New Testament, let me bring to you some verses that you know very well. But watch the wording. Once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where the remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And in John, behold the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. And so when Christ died, in terms of Psalm 22, forsaken of God, he dealt with sin. That principle that sets us against God. That principle that made us enemies of God, that set us at enmity with him. A point taken up very fully by Paul in Romans. And let's pause here because it's one thing to give assent to these mentally. There's another thing to appreciate the fullness of what we're being told. The Israelite, however he offered the first three offerings, could not come into the presence of God until he offered the last two. Sin kept him from the presence of God, and sin keeps us from the presence of God today. That's the sin principle. And for the Israelite to be accepted into God's presence, he brought a sin offering. And for us to be accepted into God's presence today, we have to appropriate the Lord Jesus Christ as the sin offering. Behold the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. And the Psalm 22 aspect of the death of Christ deals with the principle of sin. And those scriptures that I quoted you from the New Testament really emphasize to us that particular fact. But you know, there's some other side to sin. The principle of sin embedded in all of us. And by the way, once we come to Christ as Savior, the ultimate punishment of penalty of that sin principle is dealt with, but it still dwells in us. It's not removed automatically. That sin principle produces hurtful acts. Now, all those hurtful acts, of course, are always against God. But they can also be against man. And the trespass offering, which is Psalm 69, takes care of the damage caused by the sin principle. And this is another aspect to the cross. Let me quote you again some verses that you know. Ye being dead in your sins, Christ died for our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Now this is the trespass offering aspect of the death of Christ. The trespass offering, as we'll see in a moment, dealt with my infringement, not only upon God's rights, but upon human rights. You know, human rights is not a new thing. Human rights is instilled in the Word of God, and the trespass offering is a good example of this. So we have the principle of sin, that which causes us to go against God, dealt with at the cross, as described in Psalm 22. But those hurtful sins that come out, the practice of sin in our lives, is dealt with in Psalm 69 and in the trespass offering. Let me ask you, if you will, to go back to Leviticus, and let's read some three or four verses there that will direct us very firmly before we apply this to Psalm 69. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 2. Now watch this very carefully, because this is the basis for what we're going to develop from Psalm 22. If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord. Now there it is. Anything that we do wrong has its initial impact upon God. But notice how it goes on. And lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered unto him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or having found that which was lost, lieth concerning it, and swearing falsely. In any of those things which a man doeth, sinning therein. Now these are acts initially against God, but secondly against my neighbor that God is dealing with here. Notice, losing things that we're given to look after. Finders keepers. Finders keepers is not true in the Bible, as you can see from this passage. Then it shall be, because he hath sinned and is guilty, and watch this next phrase, that he shall restore that which he took away violently, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered unto him to keep, or that lost thing which he found, or that about which he sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add a fifth part more. And listen to this, and give it to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. Now, before we go into Psalm 69, let me remind you of what we're being told here. You see, because the New Testament takes this up in regard to any one of us, and before we come to offer our sacrifice at the altar, says God, you put right that which is wrong against your brother and sister. So that's not a new principle. God is implying it here. You've sinned against me. You've sinned against your neighbor. And before you put the sin right with me, you go and put it right with your neighbor. Then you can come, and then you can offer the trespass offering, but not before. Now, sin's effect upon our fellow human is important to God. As I said earlier, God recognizes human rights even before we did. And the Israelite was not allowed to offend against his neighbor and then come and offer a sacrifice to God. And that's a principle that we've got to get hold of today if our fellowship together is going to be meaningful. That things that we wrong each other, and sometimes we do it accidentally. Heaven forbid that we should ever do it purposely, but I'm not too sure that sometimes a little thing doesn't happen inside us and we do what we ought not to do. But listen, before we come to the altar to give a sacrifice to God, that has to be put right. That has to be restored. Now, let's move this idea of restoration and reparation to Psalm 69. Did you notice what it said at the end of verse 4? It says, God, in the trespass offering, you restore that you've taken away, plus a fifth, before you come to me. But notice what it says of Christ. Then I restored that which I took not away. Here's the value of the cross. The damage that sin has done to human lives, Christ has paid in full. Not only is he paid in full, but he's added the one-fifth. Christ did not take away man's innocence. Man lost his innocence at the Garden of Eden, when he surrendered his will to Satan. Christ did not take away our fellowship with God. Man did that when he surrendered himself to Satan in the Garden of Eden. Christ did not take away the dominion that was committed to man before the fall. Man lost that because he sinned. And you can go through the things that man lost because of sin. And then you can hear this voice coming from Psalm 69. Then I restored that which I took not away. We want to come back into that situation of innocence before God. We can only do that as we accept Christ. And clothed in his righteousness, we stand in God's presence as though we had never sinned. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? Nothing against us. Who can point the finger at God's elect? Nobody. Because it's Christ that justifies. That place of innocence is regained because of the work of Christ. Who restores our fellowship with God? Ah, we have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with Him. We have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, has dealt not only with the principle of sin, but with the practice of sin. And so He restores the fellowship with God. He didn't take it away. But the fullness of His sacrifice has restored our fellowship with God. What about the dominion? Oh, we're doing a prophetic study. And one of the things we're going to find in that prophetic study is man under Christ. Those who are His, restored to that position of dominion in the millennial kingdom. Everything that was taken away from us by sin, Christ has restored. All that we lost in Adam, we can regain in Christ. And this is the trespass offering. Now, if you study the offerings carefully, you will find that in every offering you have a choice of animal except this one. In the other ones you can use a lamb, a from the herd or from the flock. You can use a goat, you can use a pigeon, sometimes you can use a handful of meal. But in the trespass offering, it's only a ram, the leader of the flock, that can be offered. You remember when Abram was going to slay Isaac, he was just going to lift the knife and God said, hold it. And God provided for Himself a lamb, and when they went to get it, there was a ram caught in the thicket. The highest that could be offered is demanded at the trespass offering. It's no good me harming my brother and going and put it right and then come along with a cow. No. It has to be a leader of the flock. The highest form of offering is only the only thing acceptable in the trespass offering. And I think that tells us the value of injury caused by sin. Injury to God, injury to man. And God says, not only do you put it right before you come to me, but when you come, you bring the best that you can bring. You know, normally in the offerings, there's an element of, well, what can you afford? And if you can only afford a pigeon or a turtle dove, then you bring a pigeon or a turtle dove. But the trespass offering, there was no choice. Whether you were rich or poor, you brought a ram, the leader, the most important animal in the flock, you had to bring for the trespass offering. And so in these two psalms, as we combine them together and address the events of the cross, we find that in Psalm 22, Christ is forsaken of God because God laid on Him the iniquity of us all, and God could not look on sin. So Psalm 22, He's taken by the foreknowledge and the determinate counsel of God, and He's slain. In Psalm 69, the forsaking is of man, taken by wicked hands and crucified. And in Psalm 69, it's the effect of sin that Christ deals with. And so if we allow, as believers, if we allow the sin principle to continue to operate in our lives, then we have to be aware that what we do offends God. What we do can often offend our brethren. And before we come to offer our sacrifice to God, we've got to put it right. But listen, when we come, the only claim we have to have those sins dealt with is to offer Christ in all His fullness as the one who died, yes, for our sin, but He also died that our sins may be taken care of. And you know, fellow Christian, there's an awful responsibility placed upon us here. We serve God. We seek to serve Him. We worship Him. We came here this morning in a sense, in a form of that which we use as worship. Did we come with anything against somebody else that had not been taken care of? Because if we did, we really would have had a problem with what we offered, wouldn't we? And those of us who are outside of Christ, and I hope there's no one here like that, but let me remind you that Christ died that your sin in principle might be dealt with. But he also died that those things that you do as a result of sin may be taken away, may be forgiven. See, I have a problem. I chose a hymn to close with, and it had the word atonement in it. I have a problem with that, you see. We cannot apply atonement to Christ. We can apply atonement to the Old Testament offerings because they covered the sin until Christ came. I would be very unhappy today if all I had were my sins covered. Very unhappy. But my sins are gone because of the work of Christ, not because of some animal that was offered in my place. My sin's gone. And I have the power to come into God's presence when I have sinned in a practical sense and claim the same sacrifice that dealt with the sin principle. I can claim that same sacrifice to deal with the sins that are still produced. Oh, friend, if your sins are not gone, then there's something radically wrong. And you'd be well advised to talk to somebody who could show you from the Word of God what you need to take care of your sin and your subsequent sins. 188. Father, we're always amazed at the fullness of what Christ has done. And we bless thee that as we have looked at these two psalms, Psalm 22 and Psalm 69, both of which directed us to the cross, we have a little more appreciation of what was accomplished there. We see Christ forsaken by thyself. We hear those awful words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we realize in terms of the passage that we read this morning that all our iniquities were laid upon him. But Father, as we come to Psalm 69, we see his work in relation to the sins that we commit on an ongoing basis. And we're taken back to those incidents that happened so many times in the life of thy people of old, where a trespass offering was brought, where restitution and reparation had to be made before the offering was given. And as we listen to the voice of Psalm 69, we hear these words, then I restored that which I took not away. And Father, we acknowledge that Christ has repaired and redone all the damage caused by Adam. He has given us his righteousness in which we can stand before thee. He has renewed the fellowship that we had with thee. And one day the dominion that man had over the earth will be seen again as the redeemed in Christ rule and reign with him. But Father, there's a practical aspect to our psalm. As we live day by day before thee and in fellowship with each other, sometimes, Father, we do those things that always offend thee, but sometimes offend those that we fellowship with. And Father, we realize that the principle not only in this psalm but elsewhere in Scripture is laid clearly before us to put that right first and then come with our offering. Father, should there be any with us today who do not know Christ, we ask thee that the fullness of what he's done in Psalm 22 will be real to them. But Father, there are those of us here who know Christ as Savior and who need to be reminded of the trespass offering and its place in thy people of old. We ask thee, we're reminded that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Father, may we take daily the use of this provision and keep ourselves right with thee. Bless us as we separate in his precious name. Amen.